Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 305, the box office report for the week ending August 20th, 2017. It's my wife's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy well,
it's
birthday.
Not 5 days ago.
It's not my birthday.
Well, yeah. Well, she listens to every episode.
Relaying
so.
The yeah. message
vicariously.
To
yes. Yeah. She doesn't even listen to me when I talk in real life. Why would she sit down and listen to 2 hours a week of me prattling on about nerd stuff?
Well, for us.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to you guys in real
no,
life.
No, that's
either.
Also true.
Yeah. So speaking of everyone she doesn't listen to, you should go around and introduce yourself so we know, so she knows precisely who she's not listening to.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is your husband, Tom. Unless you're not my wife. Everyone else,
I'm
not
your husband.
Yeah. It's not, it would be like some sort of like
podcast,
some
Mormon
sort of Mormon
thing.
Mormon, yeah.
Yeah.
Fundamental LDS, because normal Mormons aren't like that anymore.
So you're like
is that
an audio polygamist.
There you go.
Oh.
That's fancy.
Trademark Real Spoilers.
Sorry. Give you something to edit out.
Big, big, 1 minute 17. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're
no, I was, but no. It just...
Dynamite drop in, money.
So. I was trying. I kept getting cut off. The joke wouldn't work anymore.
Oh, gotcha. Catch and release. It'll grow on you.
Exactly.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. What is your theory about reviews this week, Mr. Fancy Pants?
Yes. Did you
agree?
No.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a fair question.
Yeah. No, it's
legit. He wrote his master's thesis on it.
What are you looking at?
I'm getting nervous for Joe over there. Next thing you know, you're just going to have an IV bag with...
Well, when you work nights and have to come here straight from the morning... Like,
oh, Joe has a Monster Energy and next to it a huge 20-ounce Mountain Dew.
How do you have a huge... It's a 1 liter.
Well, okay.
Oh, it's not so like you a can. It's no. like
so you
a
got an 18 big... ounce and a 1 liter.
Yeah. I got to drive home after this and stay awake. So, you know.
Do you have a catheter?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not like you two.
That's probably our worst nightmare right there. Before us.
Tom looked at it and went and pee.
I did. I could fill the Mountain Dew back up and you never know.
It's true. It's Mountain Dew. You have no idea.
I did.
It's not Surge. Like it's, you know.
Surge.
Well, I'm just warning you right now. Your day is coming.
That's fine.
Yeah, like
it's just not here yet.
Yeah. Your day is coming when you're gonna you know how like on a classic rock station you're never more than like 40 minutes away from a Led Zeppelin song?
Sure.
That's how Dan and I are with peeing.
With peeing.
Yeah, never more than 40 minutes away.
No, you're just trained to preemptively strike.
Absolutely. Like when
just
like see I bet now you feel differently about Bush and the preemptive strike, right? Like you're like, now that I pee like this, I get it.
Everybody feels differently about Bush now, but
isn't that a weird thing? That's a weird thing that now we've gotten to the point where it's like, it wasn't that bad.
But you know, I
like on a scale,
I will say this.
We always do that with presidents. Now, yes. I will say we did it in record time. Like, yes. I am not trying to, but we always, like, it's like, oh, it's Clinton's kinda, the worst. Yeah. And then, like, 6 months when he's out of office, like, or a year, oh. You're like, oh, the 90s.
Well, it's also like, oh, he wasn't the worst. We were doing all right when he was in office. I mean, Clinton.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
That's it's because hindsight's 20/20.
Well, I think
the economy is better.
I think,
because this would be a good week for hindsight to be 2020. Yeah. But apparently, some people.
You mean
forgot.
2020 going back to World War II?
Thought so.
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, I've just been rewatching Band of Brothers, and it's like, maybe they should just air this again.
I was thinking about that, like the Nazi white supremacist type. I was thinking about this while I was brushing my teeth. So these guys
got some weird.
My mind goes
not
to
right
places.
On.
So these are like they envision themselves as tough guys,
right?
Uh-huh. As individualists, rugged individualists, right?
Rocking the tiki torches. Right.
So you got to think like their epitome of manhood is probably someone like John Wayne.
Sure.
So what do they do when John Wayne is in like a World War II movie?
Killing Nazis.
Where he's killing Nazis.
Yeah.
Like what does that do to their cognitive dissonance?
It's the man, right? Like he was forced to be in that movie by the mm-hmm. studio. Right. He didn't really feel that way. But he had to get paid.
John Wayne didn't do anything John Wayne didn't want to do.
No, we know that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like so there's two John Waynes in my opinion. There's everything before Stagecoach, where he was just like a workaday actor,
right?
Yep. Right, and then those are really bad. Anything pre 1939, like just don't even waste your time with Stagecoach. Giant movie star, he'll do whatever the hell he pleases, and so,
yep.
So since all of that, where he had no control over his career, was pre World War II.
That's true,
you know. So I do wonder, yeah. Like you know that these people, yeah. They love John Wayne, but then John Wayne's in a movie where he's killing Nazis. What do they do with that in their head? If you're a white supremacist and you listen to the show, right? No, just stop listening.
You know
to
what?
The show.
Just leave.
Just go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I would say like
I mean,
just
the
call
first
it
thing
a day.
You do apparently is you all make a run to Party City.
Well, you gotta get those tiki torches.
Yeah,
that's legit. Like if you're gonna be a white supremacist, at least own it and like get an axe handle and wrap it in a gasoline soaked T-shirt and carry that as a torch. Don't be a douchebag and rock a tiki.
I didn't like that Tiki even came out and said no.
Yeah,
no.
It's a shame
Tiki.
That Tiki was like, you know what? No. And the president's like, no, both sides. Both sides.
No, even Tiki were like, no.
They were quick. Tiki came out within the day and was like,
I'm sure they're like, we got to protect the brand.
We're on tiki torches.
You didn't see, the polo shirt company being like, no.
Well, that's because that's their exclusive market.
Well, right.
Docker's better step it up.
They signed a sponsorship. The new white supremacist uniform is a white polo shirt and khaki shorts.
Brill cream is.
Wait, I'm wearing khaki shorts.
So I didn't realize Tiki was a brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like I thought it was
just the name of the torch.
Thought it was a place,
like
yeah.
Kleenex,
and it was yeah.
Yeah.
But Kleenex isn't a place. Like
no, yeah, I mean yeah. it's a brand though.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Like
yeah, I
don't think they can enforce it. Like when they talk about things like tiki culture and stuff like
right.
that.
Oh.
I don't think it's one of those things
yeah.
to the level of like Xerox.
Right. Right. It is a real thing,
Photoshop
but someone branded it.
Yeah.
I just thought like the torches were from there.
That's
and so that's what
too.
We called them. And so like,
well, I'm sure they are. And Tiki, formerly,
Tiki,
whatever they're
like,
called,
God,
was like, yeah, we'll call these Tiki torches.
I just can't imagine like a company being like, we're trademarking Hawaiian pineapples.
Right. Right.
Can we talk about the genius of the Tina Fey joke real quick?
Well, she's taking some heat for that.
But she shouldn't. Like that is a genius. Like
the,
next
you're
level,
talking about the cake thing.
Yes,
okay.
That's a next
I didn't
level.
See it. Do you have a cliff notes?
No, I mean basically she's doing the let them have their cake and eat it too. But on
that's
SNL,
why people were talking about that.
Yeah,
online,
like
that
it's
thing.
A, it
okay.
is a that is a brilliant joke that went under the radar.
What'd she say though?
Well, she's just
What's
talking about
joke?
Eating cake. I don't know. Like
she's just
a
saying
whole
like
bit.
Instead of like going and counter protesting, just
eat a
like
cake.
Basically stress eating cake,
yeah,
because it's just like too much to handle.
Oh.
But
and
it's
and then some people were saying like, well, that just shows the privilege of white feminists because she's saying don't engage, and I don't know, I have a hard time not thinking that maybe just letting them march through parks all by themselves isn't the worst thing.
It's not an awful
do.
Idea. Just let them, if you don't give
it
them attention,
will eliminate mosquitoes.
That's true. That's
so. That is, but I'm trying to think of the upside here, and the mosquitoes were down.
Yeah, they were just like, no.
Well, like, that West Nile is a real thing. So, like,
yeah. So,
but no, like, so there, she, was the whole joke was like a. You
although
know,
it would be ironic to see a bunch of Nazis fall victim to a disease from
Africa.
That would.
Yeah.
That would be delightful.
That would. That's,
well,
that
they gotta stop selling them tiki torches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll they'll be walking around we'll candles. Those like, you know, what are those yeah. called?
Citronella the, candles. Yeah. Just yeah. like duct tape them to their heads,
right. yeah.
or some Glade plugins.
With no, like cool. a little, let's light those on fire.
A little battery
fine.
Pack so yeah. they can plug them in.
They're just now carrying on flashlights,
right. Febreze.
Yeah, they've got a Febreze and a lighter, where they're just like.
Oh, don't give them any ideas. That's, true,
that's
yeah. a blowtorch.
I didn't think
right
about that.
There.
That's a good point.
So movie reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do those on this show?
Yeah, and oh. iTunes. We had an iTunes review.
Oh, I was
that's
right.
Where, that's where we landed on that.
Yay.
So this is from Mike from theblankscroll.com.
All right.
So you got a little plug.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I was like, and, is there a word that goes there or is it just the blank?
No, it's just it's theblankscroll.com.
Got it.
So there's I'm not sure if it's blank
it's
scrolls?
A website where they just show scrolls open right. with no words on it.
I don't know if it's blankscroll.com or theblankscroll.com because it's like it says theblankscroll.com with no space in between it, but the B and blank and S and scroll are capitalized. But the
well, we
T
have
isn't.
A webcomic.
Oh,
pretty good art.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I so. Like it. I like the style. Look at the.
Oh yeah, it's kind
I mean,
of
it's a
that's good
yeah. good quality. You know, it's not like a like a some webcomics like the black and white stick figures saying you know yeah. funny jokes where but like this has some time put into it. This yeah. is good. Yeah.
Look at that. He shameless plugged our shameless plugs. Yeah. Way to go. So
it's a double plug.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
Morocco.
Yeah,
we got rid
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Danny's out of end of all the way over there.
Oh, and it's going to yeah. fly across the...
don't be shaking somebody else's Morocco.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
That was in stereo.
That was, I know. I was trying to give the surround sound effect if you're listening in yeah. Dolby Atmos.
Yeah. So, there you go.
So he says, reliably better than the movie. I look forward to the Real Spoilers reviews more than the movie itself. Great content, guys. Keep it up. So
thank,
so
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
we
you.
We greatly appreciate that.
And our next that. Real Spoiler will be on your webcomic.
You won't like us anymore then. We'll fix you being a fan.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. So, and then you can also join the League of Show Sharers at facebook.com/realspoilers. People who were kind enough to join this week, Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, Chris James, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julian Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Timmy Tuzoons, Brett Schulte, Brad Hyen, Brandon Coleman, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Griffin Fox Smith, Tom Comiskey, Brent Smith, Jason Weesey, Chris Sanders, Richard Lawson, and for the first time ever, Devin King.
Ooh.
There it
finally.
Is.
Finally. Wow. Cracked finally. And got on the Facebook.
Well, we just want to encourage you, if you have any embarrassing kid photos of, keep them clean, but any of those embarrassing.
Well, hopefully if you have kids photos,
they are, should all be clean.
They should yours. All be clean.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
You shouldn't have to keep it clean. Right. Like it should just be clean. Right.
The default setting.
Is right. Photos. There's really only one sort of child photo you should be in possession of when it comes to the binary choice of clean, not clean.
Right. I 100% agree, and it's sad that there's even a preface
quickly.
There. But if you have those childhood photos, maybe you went to elementary school with Devin, and I don't know, he dressed up funny for Halloween.
Or maybe you hung out with him in the back of a weird adult van.
Also possible. The yeah. white panel van.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you were altar boys together.
Don't share those photos, but share the funny ones.
No, so I was listening.
Turn those photos over to authorities.
Yes.
I was
before
listening
the Statue
to,
of Limitations
yeah,
has expired.
To you know, My Favorite Murder. Do you really yeah. listen to that show?
No.
So they do, it's too, and it doesn't matter. They're telling this hometown murder story of a girl who almost got kidnapped, but the kidnapper was too lazy. To the white panel van.
Okay.
So, like, she's walking out of this store.
So,
she locks
so
it up.
There's not a murder.
Too lazy.
So, there's not a murder.
Right.
There's not even a kidnapping.
It's, no, but the story is worth it.
I don't think this show really understands
I think
the title.
I mean, it's pretty popular. I think it gets it. It's coming to St. Louis in December. So, like, she's a manager of this, I don't know, like a video store or whatever. She
it's
leaves.
It's called Blockbuster.
It was.
This is a long
yeah,
time
it
ago.
Was. So, she leaves. She goes outside waiting for her dad, and this white panel van pulls up, screams, pulls up. Door slides open. There's an old guy crouched down in the back, and he's like, "Get in the car!" And she's just like, "No, thank you." And the guy's like, "Get in the car!" And she's like, "I'm all right."
Really?
And the guy goes, "Ugh!" and slams the door and pulls away.
What?
I was like, well, he didn't even try. He's like, well, I appreciate your opinion. All right, take care.
Thank goodness he was that lazy.
Here's that free bike I promised.
These millennial child abductors are so lazy. When I was a kid,
we got out of the van.
We'd abduct two or three kids in a day, uphill,
in the snow.
Ways.
No power steering.
Yeah.
No snow tires.
Stick shift on the column.
It was rough. They don't do that anymore, do they?
Because it's dumb.
That's true.
The stick shift on a column?
Yeah. I never thought about that. That's weird.
It's like, I really hate the convenience of an automatic, but I really want the irritants of stick shift.
Okay.
Oh.
You got it, buddy.
We have the solution for you. It's your lucky day.
I do like that they tried to make that cool in some, like, one of the Fast and the Furious movies where, like, the stick shift was right here, and he was just like, yeah, like, they closed in on the stick shift. Like, that's not cool.
Those are the paddle shifters they put in cars.
Is that what it is?
So you can shift your own, like, you're an indie driver. That's what they do in race cars, you know? Like, they have a clutch, but they shift on the steering wheel. I guess it's faster or whatever, but... So
it's faster than going like this. Oh, I gotta be in fifth.
Right. I mean, because they just go like this. They're driving a car on the wheel, so they do that in Indy races, you know, in NASCAR.
I mean, you gotta figure if it saves you like 1/100th of a second.
In Indy car, that makes sense.
That's the difference. Right. So they start adding it to automatic, you know, newer vehicles because I guess people wanted to...
They actually put that sound effect in when... that's the sound it makes when
they want to feel like they're Indy car drivers.
It's like the Prius where the engine noise is a sound chip or whatever, you know. It's a
deep fryer.
do they really have those in Prius? Well, there's a reason they added the sound effect.
I think there is.
Really?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've heard that
deaf people couldn't hear the cars coming in parking lots when you're going slow. It's electric,
right?
And so that it's what makes no noise, and so people in parking lots could not hear the car approaching. And so when they weren't hearing anything, you're just at this
walking
point
in the street,
you're trained to, like, you hear it, you know.
Yeah, if there's no noise, right, not as
wait
apt
a
to
minute
look.
Wait a minute, how would a deaf
I'm
person...
sorry, I said around a blind person.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was kind of like, I was in my head, I'm like trying to put this together.
Well,
like,
I was like,
sorry,
maybe it makes vibrations. I was trying to,
but yeah, so they added a sound so they could hear it.
I gotcha. That makes sense, though.
So, yeah, but that's why.
You run over 6 blind people, you're like, man, I guess we should figure this out.
So,
there it is.
6. You run over 6, well, maybe that's on you.
Yeah, I mean, like, one person.
It's not one person running him over, it was backing him up. There was, like, a herd of blind people that ran over. No!
How many more types of people can we offend on this episode?
As many as humanly possible.
Is it offensive or really appropriate to call a group of blind people a herd?
Yes.
God.
To answer your question, yes.
So anyway,
how's that box office report going?
We will now bring our shameless plugs to a close
and scene.
And turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tommy. You may as well just intro the episode again because all that's leaving. No. The box office is here, and the number one movie of the day is once again the film of the day.
Oh,
it is The Hitman's Bodyguard, and that movie made about $21 million this weekend. It didn't have much competition. It had Annabelle from last week, and Logan Lucky was a smaller release.
What was the budget on it?
On The Hitman?
Yeah.
That was $29 million.
Okay.
So...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought it was probably done on the cheap.
Some of those effects looked a little wonky. Like the explosions looked a little out of like a... like a Citibank commercial.
Yeah.
But, but knowing that they made it for $29 million, like, I'm like...
It might turn me around a little bit.
That's a pretty good looking movie for $29 million.
I have a theory on the budget and what this movie is, but we'll get into that next episode.
Ooh.
So, yeah, 20.
That's what you call a teaser.
There you go.
In the industry.
21 on a 29, so there's no overseas numbers yet, but I mean, in its first weekend, it already made back a good chunk of that. So
I don't think it has anything going up against it next week.
No, next week's pretty light.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But number two, the movie from last week, Annabelle Creation, it took a 53% drop, but still made $16.5 million, so almost as much as Hitman's Bodyguard opening in its second week. It is at $65 million domestic now, but it has over $50 million overseas, so that movie's over $100 million on a $15 million budget.
Blumhouse special.
That's I love how people are like looking into the actual Annabelle doll, and then when they see it, they're like, oh.
It's exactly what I did for show prep, because I'm like, what was this actually based on? I go look, I'm like, this is a Raggedy Ann doll? Yeah. The least creepy, most generic doll ever.
They couldn't use a My Buddy or, you know, a kid's sister.
Yeah, there's lots of real-looking dolls that are creepy. Yeah. This is Raggedy Ann.
You know what they should have used was one of those anatomically correct Joey dolls.
Oh.
That would have been...
Not me.
One of those kids in the movie wakes up with that dangling from their face. Whoa.
I gotta go.
Yeah. In a white panel van.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, this is all coming around again.
What's a guy gotta do to get a maraca around?
Come on!
That was a
challenge accepted.
Yeah, right.
No. Coming in at number three, Logan Lucky, which this is surprising. So this movie has no big studio behind it. It is a very big art house movie, and it opened to over 3,000 screens. I didn't realize that.
That's
knowing
impressive.
Yeah, knowing the small budget and how there was no studio.
Yeah, but you had some big names.
But there's a lot of big stars in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But I mean, without the studio behind them and to distribute it and put, you know, I just didn't know that it would have as big of an opening or wide release, but 3,000, that's almost as much as Hitman's Bodyguard. So unfortunately, the take isn't as big as Hitman's Bodyguard, 7.7 million. So, you know, not quite as much, and it had a $29 million budget. So
did you see it?
I did.
And?
I know critics are raving about it. I didn't really care for it.
Didn't do it.
I couldn't get past the accents.
The accents?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a redneck Ocean's 11. So it's directed by Steven Soderbergh, and stars Channing Tatum, Adam Driver.
I thought he retired.
And introducing newcomer.
And introducing Daniel Craig. That's what it says on the poster, which I love. Yeah. That's great.
I laughed out loud when I saw the trailer before a movie, when they're like, and introducing Daniel Craig.
But
didn't he retire? Didn't Soderbergh retire?
He retired, but then he directed a bunch of TV stuff. Oh, okay. And he's basically just kind of done with Hollywood, is what he said. He doesn't like how the system is set up to make movies, which I don't disagree with. And so this movie has a very different business model in that... it's completely independently funded, and the way he said he funded the movie was he sold off the foreign rights to fund the production of the film, and then he sold off everything but the theatrical run. So like Netflix, HBO, VOD, all that stuff, he sold all the rights to that to fund the marketing for the film, and then the cast. And basically worked for scale.
Got it.
And then splits the profits. And he's like, so there's no Hollywood accounting. You literally, if you want to know how much the movie is making and what your share is,
you can look at it.
There's a password protected website
that
you have a login for, and you log in and it shows, okay, I'm Channing Tatum, I'm getting 12% or whatever. I made up that number. I don't know what it really is.
Sure.
And then the movie made $7 million this week, take out theater cut, and then this is what you get. And
how much did Real Spoilers chip in for the percentage? Do you know?
$1. I'm unaware. So it's an interesting premise, but from an actual film standpoint, like I really... felt I never got past the fact that the actors really felt actorly. Like it's supposed to be this fun kind of heist movie, and really, this is going to sound weird because I don't know the lady that wrote it. Her name was like Robin Blunt or something. And I really felt, and this is weird to say considering it's an A-list director with a lot of big names in the cast, I really felt like she was let down. I felt like it was a really smart, funny screenplay.
Oh.
And I always felt like the actors were like, oh, I get to do an accent, you know? And
they're yucking it up too much.
And like, it wasn't like it was like hee-haw.
Right.
You know? And like, I really felt like it wanted to be like a Raising Arizona or something.
Yeah.
It just never...
It had that look.
It just never really clicked for me.
Which, you know, with that, they pulled it back.
Yeah,
like Raising Arizona. Yeah, I mean, like, as insane as that movie is,
it's very deadpan.
Yeah, like they never push the accents too far. Well, Holly Hunter's Texan, so
yeah, she already had it.
But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they never
and
like
she's adorable.
Yes,
she is.
But they never like John Goodman in that movie and William Forsythe and Nicolas Cage. I mean, you know, they never really like went way too far into like funny accents,
right? And this just like I said, I could never get past the fact that like it it felt like they were playing dress up.
That sucks.
Interesting. But I've heard nothing but good things. And just
I know I'm the odd man out on that.
Like everyone on Facebook that's talked about it, that's seen it, is raving about it. I've talked to people. Devin saw it, actually, and I spoke with him, and he said it was great. Everyone that's seen it really enjoys it. So it's interesting.
Show friend Brad Hayen referred to it as Ocean 7-Eleven, so I thought that was pretty
good. That's a good line.
Yeah. I was like, bravo.
Well done. I think
I'm seeing it Tuesday, so I'm interested. I'll check it out, give it a chance.
But I thought the screenplay was really smart. Yeah. Like, I really liked what it did and how it kind of resolved things. I thought it was... And Hilary Swank shows up at the end, and I think she's doing a Clint Eastwood impersonation.
That's pretty hilarious, if that's true.
Yeah.
I think, especially based on what you just said, I think it's going to have a huge, life or afterlife on.
I could see that because it is a lot of the stuff that does work is a lot of smaller stuff.
Right.
You think it'll be quotable?
I could see it becoming that
way.
When
was the last time you saw a movie that was quotable, though? Like, what was the last movie that you...
I always think of Anchorman. I know that's not new, but that's a home video one that's very quotable.
Yeah.
But it's not super new.
I can't really think of anything that was in the cultural zeitgeist that you say and people are just like, oh yeah, that's from, but Anchorman, I guess that would be
Anchorman, the most
recent one.
I guess that monster's kicking it over there.
What?
You.
What are you talking about?
Your cultural zeitgeist.
Oh, thank you.
Caffey Joe. Yeah.
It's amazing when your brain works in the morning. Words are just floating around in there and you're like, oh, I know what that word means. I'm going to use it in a sentence like Mike Tyson.
So it'll be interesting to see what it does in the following weeks, though, because the Hollywood, the non-Hollywood side of it, the financing of it is intriguing.
Yeah.
I would love to see more creative films that big stars are going to be a part of, but don't have that influence from Hollywood, making decisions like, we have to have this and that, and then making a crappy movie.
I don't think you'll see that in Hollywood. I think you'll probably see that on Netflix or Hulu or those services where they don't have... Like, Netflix is like, how much money do you need? And they're just like, $15 million. They're like, well, here's $15 million. Go make your movie, and we'll put it on Netflix. I think the Hollywood formula is not going anywhere. These directors who want to do things like this will start going to Netflix.
Right. Especially Judd Apatow gave an interview recently where he talked about why you don't see movies like Airplane anymore.
Yeah.
And he's like, the business model doesn't support it. Like, you can't take a movie like Airplane to an international market. You won't make any money. And so the studios are like, we might... spend 50 to make 70 and it's just not worth it.
Right.
And so we'd rather spend 200 to make 300.
Right.
And so, all the people that write those sorts of things are going to television and that's where all that stuff lives now.
And that's good stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see because I know Steven Soderbergh's complaint and it's a legit one is that you don't see a lot of movies that are kind of targeted towards adults. And when you do, they're very serious.
Well, it's also
these are very serious.
You don't have as many companies anymore.
Yeah.
Right? So you had New Line at one point, you had Miramax, you had Touchstone, you had all these different offshoots that weren't Warner Brothers, MGM, Sony. You didn't have those. So you could go to New Line and
you don't have MGM anymore either.
Well, right. You know what I meant though. Like it's all four studios at this point.
Right.
You don't have those smaller independent studios besides Blumhouse. Or I don't know,
we have Lionsgate,
Fox Roadshow, or Spotify.
Focus Features.
You have Asylum. That's true.
Focus Features, though. Yeah. I mean, those are the ones
the
that are producing
those,
the art house.
But they're not doing. They're doing.
But they're
the
doing the
adult
series.
Art house.
Series.
Yeah, you don't. But you don't get a Nightmare on Elm Street because there is no New Line took a chance on it.
And New Line, even though it became the art house studio, they also gave you Austin Powers.
Yeah.
But Judd Apatow and Steven Soderbergh just kind of independently are saying the same thing, just on different kind of ends of the spectrum. But I know people were asking Soderbergh, it's weird that you came back for this kind of lowbrow, silly movie. And he's like, well, I want to do something that's fun. He's like, I'm not going to come back and do something serious.
They wanted him for Cap.
He wanted him
for Captain America, too.
Yeah, he's one of the most... If you look at his movies, he's one of the most diverse
right
now.
Yeah. What was that one he did with Sasha Grey?
That the girlfriend experience?
That's
that
what
one?
It is. Yeah.
I didn't really care for that.
It was what it was, but it was something completely different.
Totally.
It was
Traffic.
Out of...
Is that him?
Behind the candelabra. That was another movie.
That was
movie
right. And that was supposed to be theatrical.
It was.
And then,
oh, really?
Yeah. And then they wussed out because there was so much gay sex in it. And they just thought, oh, well, who's going to go see this? And
oh,
so,
I don't know. Everybody.
And so it ended up on HBO.
And did, like, did it win? Did he win?
Michael Douglas won a best an Emmy for best actor.
Okay. I guess I thought that he won. Maybe not.
I don't remember. Okay. But that movie's really good.
That's a good flick.
Yeah, that's a good
movie.
Like,
it's an intense movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's legit, but it's good.
But, you know, I was bummed because I really wanted to like this movie. Like, it reminded me, in a lot of ways, it reminded me of, like, kind of those Burt Reynolds movies from the 70s. Yeah. And I'm like, and that looked fun. Like, yeah. I was just like, oh, man, I really wanted to like this. But, you know, Burt Reynolds, for being an A-list movie actor at the time, asterisk.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Don't know what he's doing now. When was the last time we saw Burt Reynolds?
I mean, I don't think
the longest yard.
I don't think his health is very.
I don't really.
I think he's pretty
because he just kind of disappeared.
I think his health. Last time I saw a picture of him not too long ago, and
he looked pretty bad.
He looked pretty rough. Yeah. But
I think you mean Turd Ferguson. I think you mean
his appearance on Archer was fantastic.
Oh really?
And his voiceover work, but he was great.
I don't watch Archer.
Archer's a good show. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, he's on it, and he plays Burt Reynolds, and he drops a reference to Hal Needham, and I'm like, man, for the three people who got that was so good.
But yeah, I really wanted to like this movie. I like that era of films, but I also think for being an A-list actor, Burt Reynolds also kind of had credibility and a foot in that world of country, southern type of stuff. And I don't feel like Channing Tatum or Daniel Craig or Adam Driver.
I could see Channing Tatum. The other two, not so much.
Yeah. And Channing Tatum was not the problem in the movie. And people are raving about Adam Driver, and he drove me crazy.
I don't get the Adam Driver
thing. I like Adam Driver. I did not like him in this movie.
I don't understand it.
I'm hearing a lot of good buzz about Adam Driver in this movie.
His voice his accent just sounded like.
If they just put him in the Kylo Ren mask and I have to look at his dumb face, I'd be all right with that.
Well, maybe it's just that people are seeing him in like a comedy that they're seeing him in a different light. And it's kind of like well, we had a conversation going on with the Legal Show Sharer, so we were talking about John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I can't take him seriously. And it's like, you know, because of his, you know, all the
past
stuff, like Step Brothers and stuff.
Sure,
but it's like, but before that,
it was weird.
It was all serious.
As somebody who watched him start as a serious actor
to
all of a sudden see him in these big broad comedies. And it was like, well, that works. I'm like, okay, good for him. And then he just kind of has never gone back, which I get because he makes damn good money.
Yeah, before money. Walk Hard and before like Step Brothers and Talladega Nights. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know. Magnolia, Boogie Nights, Heart Eight, like basically all those.
The Good Girl.
Yeah, like all of those movies is like, no, he's
I felt
very,
like
very
his sick. Performance in The Good Girl.
Chicago.
I thought was heartbreaking.
I thought, ugh. Yeah.
Like you think he's a jerk and then you realize that like he just wants his wife to stop sleeping with other people.
He's great in
which
Chicago.
Doesn't seem like that thing big of a thing to ask.
Well, you'd be
I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
You'd be
surprised.
No. I think it's a reasonable thing for him to ask is what I'm saying.
But right.
I'm not surprised at the person's response.
You think it's not that.
But you'd be surprised.
From the husband's point of view, it's just like, hey, can you knock that off? I feel like that's a reasonable request.
And then
you'd be surprised.
No. It is frequently denied.
He's Mr. Cellophane.
Yeah.
Walk right through him. So anyway, that's Logan Lucky. We'll see what happens in the following weeks. But until then, number four, Dunkirk, 7.1 million in week five. That's only a 35% drop. So talk about a light week and people still going to see that movie. 165.9, we'll call it 166 million domestic.
We will do no such thing.
Oh, you will. 218 now foreign. So it's approaching... worldwide, almost $400 million on a $100 million budget.
I mean, I don't get it, but okay.
I know we're in the minority. I talk to people, and people are still seeing it for a fourth and fifth time, and I just really don't
get repeat viewings.
Of this or in general?
Of this.
Okay.
Dunkirk.
Then, yeah, I agree.
Now, there are lots of movies I've watched multiple times.
Movies that I don't want to admit that I've watched multiple times.
I could not imagine.
Oh, you have.
That's true. I wasn't talking about that one, Dan.
I couldn't imagine watching it again. You know? Unless you're showing off your home theater.
There, right? I got Time Bandits on Blu-ray for that.
Yeah.
There you go. What a weird
Criterion
movie.
Collection?
No, just the Blu-ray.
That's the one I have.
It was like $4.
Yeah. That's a strange movie.
10 minutes?
That one and The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Yeah. Like, they were two movies that I watched as a kid. But then I've watched them as an adult. I'm like, man, I still don't know what the hell's going on in these movies.
Yeah.
They're good. Look great. But
that is like peak Terry Gilliam. Where,
yeah.
Like, there's just this almost completely unhinged.
It's unhinged. Like, it's almost to the point where, like, that hinge is hanging on by what's left of another hinge.
And you start to watch it, and you can almost be overwhelmed. Like, what is happening? And Baron Munchausen's, I mean, behind the scenes.
I think Time Bandits is crazier than Munchausen.
Yeah, but, I mean, Munchausen, like, people, like, they just were like, what? And, you know, when they've got, like, when the guy sings the song and the organ, and it's got it's
Uma Thurman. In the Shell,
Venus,
yeah,
the God.
Weird movies.
Sounds like it. So Dunkirk still making a ton of money. Number 5, The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature, 5.8 million in week 2. It's a 30% drop. Brings it to 8.3 million domestic.
I just couldn't, as a responsible parent, go up and with my child and say 2 for Nut Job.
So this is what's happening. They're buying tickets for Dunkirk because they don't want to say.
Is that what it is?
That is. Yeah.
You're bringing your family of 7 small children to go see Dunkirk?
Yes. Yes, I am. Sir, it's weird. We have a showing of The Nut Job 2.
Nope.
Nuttier by Nature.
Coincidence.
You're not showing Conan, are you?
Man. Damn. That did not work out for me.
So
but Alfred and Superman making out.
No. Nut Job 2 had a $40 million budget, and it's just not
quite breaking. Was Scott Mosier a producer on that? Can you see if that's a thing? Is that even a thing you can look up? If not, it's fine.
I can't from here. But he produced the turkey one. He wasn't involved with the Nut Job.
Yeah, but I thought... All right.
Remember the turkey movie?
No,
about
totally. Yeah. But I just
figured out how they're making these movies. You got a turkey one?
I do.
He's a turkey, and
he doesn't want to get eaten for Thanksgiving.
Right?
Genius. Okay.
It was written by Scott Bindley, if that makes you feel any better.
No.
It's got one about a pumpkin. It doesn't want to be carved.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. This movie, The Nut Job 2, or I'm sorry. Yeah, Nut Job 2 was produced by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, 30, 31 producers.
And Scott Mosier's not one of them, huh?
So, well, and I thought Hitman's Bodyguard had a lot of producers. Did you see that?
Yes.
There was like 8 or 9 producers on Hitman's Bodyguard.
The top producers of Nut Job.
They all chipped in $20. That's why.
I don't know if Dan could maybe read this in a voice, but Hong Ju-on, Yur Hyun Baek, Bob Barlin, Sukwan Chang.
That's right. Stop. That's it. You can't get any better than that one.
They are trolling us.
But so that was
Suk Wang. What?
Stop.
It's just. So 31 producers on that movie.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. You know?
So anyway, that is The Nut Job 2. I don't think we're going to get a third one. But
they didn't have craft services, so they threw out some producer credits.
Number 6, The Emoji Movie. So there's one that is on the other end.
At least The Nut Job is doing better than that.
No.
Oh, no. Yeah. Didn't you say that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's higher on the ranking this week.
It's in week 4. The Nut Job's in week 2.
That's true.
And The Emoji Movie made only less than $1 million difference. Emoji Movie made $4.5 million, a 30% drop as well. $71.9 million on that, and another $30-plus million overseas. So over $110 million worldwide on a $50 million budget. Movie about emojis.
Ugh. No wingdings.
Nope, not happening.
Twig dig movie.
Number 7.
I can't say that's James Gunn. I can't take credit for that.
Right,
that
don't
Gunn
be
joke.
Stealing those jokes. Friend of the show, James Gunn.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Right?
St. Louis' own, James Gunn.
Number 7, Spider-Man Homecoming made $4.4 million. That's a 27% drop. So you see these small drops. Obviously, this is a slow time at the end of August here. And
at least it's that. Like that. I mean, that movie does... I hope it does more. Like,
well, it's not coming to the end here, but $315 million domestic in 7 weeks, but as you know, another $400+ million overseas. So you're over $700 on a $175 budget.
It's so weird to see like the box office report say Spider-Man Homecoming, having seen the movie, and then see it say Sony Columbia.
That's weird, isn't it? It's just, it's such a weird.
It's okay. It's, there's the screw up.
Yeah.
What?
It is. Yeah. We'll see.
I'm
gonna be like, we know how to do this. Thanks, Marvel. We're so good.
Do you think that? I mean, because we were all before we saw the movie, we were all like, why is this called Homecoming? And there was speculation. Was that a wink and a nod? Like they said it at Homecoming, but they're really like Homecoming.
No, no, no. So the wink and the nod we thought was the name. So when the Winter Soldier gets reprogrammed,
yeah,
it's the Homecoming protocol.
Well, I know I saw that. I remember in Civil War or whatever, and he's reading the book, and yeah, it's one of the words,
it's Homecoming,
right?
And then we were just like, well, I wonder if he's gonna have to fight Bucky. I don't know.
But I'm just saying that since it was, he was coming to Marvel, do you think that they said it at Homecoming, but they're like, Marvel's like, yeah, Homecoming,
yes, but he's not coming home, like, right. Yeah. You know, Sony,
I know.
Still,
I just
has,
was
the,
wondering if there was like a double, because it didn't matter. It was set at Homecoming. The plot didn't revolve around it. There was a Homecoming part, but
Homecoming is the culmination of it, though. Like the part of the movie,
yeah,
ends at Homecoming. Like the big set piece is him at Homecoming.
But to call the movie Spider-Man Homecoming, it's not like the whole plot and the whole time they're talking about home. Like, you know what I mean?
I
it
agree.
Wasn't the main focus of the movie, but they still called it Homecoming.
Yeah.
Like,
hopefully, this will open the door for Fox to be like,
no.
Well, I mean, no, same. I don't think they'll get a similar deal. I think there's no way that Marvel will make this make this kind of deal with any of the other characters. Like, I think they knew they had to get Spider-Man. We got to do what we have to get him back. I don't think they don't give a about the Fantastic Four.
But after,
they don't care.
But like, after the next X-Men, if it keeps going on this downward trajectory, like after Apocalypse.
Nope. There's no way Fox will let that go. I think the X-Men are locked up because of Deadpool. The X-Men are locked up. That's not going to go anywhere. I think the Fantastic Four is the only property that has even a remote chance of getting reverted.
Yeah, I
that's the
agree.
Only
that's
one.
The best
I
chance.
That's
they screwed
the
it up twice. Like, I don't
they
know
they screwed
how.
It up three times. There's three movies.
Well, yeah. Right, but I mean, like, but the first two were in the same.
Do you think Marvel would? I guess if they were smart, they would try to get Marvel to be like, okay, tell you what, we'll revert the creative control to you. We'll maintain the profits.
Yeah.
And you start publishing the books again.
I don't think Marvel will publish a Fantastic Four comic until the rights are fully restored at Marvel. I don't think so. I think because, I mean, they've split those characters up, right? So Johnny Storm is in the Inhumans book. The Thing, Ben Grimm, is, I think he was in the Guardians. I don't really know where he is now. I haven't seen Reed Richards in a comic since they canceled the Fantastic Four or Sue Storm. So, like, the only two characters that I ever gave a crap about are in other books, which I'm fine with. But I don't think that... If I don't know why Fox is hell-bent on holding on to that one, like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, you've had three cracks at it. You've screwed it up three times. All you're going to do is lose money. There's no point in letting it sit on a shelf.
I think they only have a few, and the ones that they do have made a ton of money for them. I think that they're just scared. They don't want to let it go because look at what they've done. Like, even though they screwed up
here. But if
you're
not putting the right... Yeah, you've screwed it up. Like, strike three.
Yeah, but...
But if you refuse... I think the... What was his name? What was the guy's name that did the last one?
Josh Trank.
I think his idea was interesting enough, right? Like, I think a Cronenberg version of the Fantastic Four is kind of interesting. Like, it's a different take, but, I mean, it was all mucked up because nobody wanted to listen. Not to say that he didn't shoot himself in the foot, which he did, and then he shot himself in the other foot, and then he shot himself in the knee, and then he shot himself in the other knee, and then he just blew his brains out because that guy has no...
That is that why we haven't heard from him?
That's why, yeah. No. It might be.
That's sad.
They kept that under wraps. But I think let... Or at least give... Like, Johnny Storm. Like, give him back. Let it be a character, and then Marvel gets it right, and they're just like, well... Okay, you can have that one too.
I think that
we have, like, do you ever traded like baseball cards?
Yeah,
right. You get a double, and you're just like, well, I'll trade you a double of this guy, and then you give me this guy, and they're like, oh, all right, that's fine. So that nobody loses, right? That's the same thing with Spider-Man. Nobody's gonna lose on that deal.
Yeah,
Marvel wins.
That's why they should do exactly what they do with Spider-Man with them and let them create a good universe for.
I don't think the Fantastic Four are as important to Marvel
no, as Spider-Man.
Certainly
was.
Not.
So well, they will not take a paycheck of $0 on the Fantastic Four, or they will take that with Spider-Man.
See, Fox still thinks they can pull through, though, because they've been like, look what we did with the X-Men.
Right. Yeah, well, they don't want to let it go because
they've said they're going to do like an all-ages Fantastic Four that's going to focus on the kids, which are characters that nobody knows. There's Franklin and Valeria. Like, there's a whole slew of Fantastic Four kids that nobody knows about, and then we're just going to make a movie about them.
That's a worse mistake than what they've been doing. Like, if you can't get the Fantastic Four right...
Yep. Let's make a kids movie about
it. Right, exactly. So, anyway, going back to the box office here, Spider-Man Homecoming making a lot of money. I'm sure that will be out on, I don't know if you've heard DVD, Blu-ray. It's got to be soon.
A date yet, but it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, 7 weeks, we're getting kind of toward... It's usually 2 to 3 months that they're on Blu-ray now, so we'll look out for that one. Number 8, Girls Trip, still making some good money. $3.9 million in week 5. That's a 40% drop. $104 million domestic. $9.8 million overseas, so you know. Girls Nights aren't as popular overseas, I guess. So we were talking about 115-ish on a $19 million budget. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that movie is doing amazing. So and that it nobody
keeps trucking too.
Yeah,
Girls Night too, for sure.
Oh,
yeah,
it's without a doubt.
Number 9, The Dark Tower, the movie from a few weeks ago. It's dropping quite quickly here. $3.7 million is a 53% drop. $41.5 million is the domestic total. Another $20 million overseas. You're talking about $60-ish million on a $60 million budget. So that's, and it's almost out of the top 10.
That should have been HBO's next big miniseries.
Yep.
Yeah. The more I think about it, just the more, I mean, I didn't like it the first time, but the more I think about it, I'm just like, that was not a good movie.
Nope.
It's really disappointing because the source material and everything I've read about it and how good it could have been, that's sad. And now everyone has this bad idea. Like, they'll have to wait 10 years before they try another movie because of this one now.
Right.
You know, they've screwed it up to where now there has to be a time period to even correct it. So, I don't know. Do you know if the show's still happening?
I don't know.
The prequel show?
You know, I can't imagine it would with this sort of
box office. That's the thing. So, it's like, I don't know if that can even happen now. But,
yeah.
So, anyway, that's too
Who
bad.
Who put that one out? Who was that?
Sony is The Dark Tower.
They just can't get franchises. How do we have Fast and Furious? Great. Let's just put a pump all our money. Oh no, who is that? Oh, that's Universal.
Yeah. Universal.
So they
on
don't
fire.
Have a franchise. Sony doesn't have a franchise. I mean, they have Spider-Man.
Yeah, they have Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man. No, they've got like the Silver Sable and Black Cat and Venom. They don't have Spider-Man.
But don't worry, Spider's not in that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't know. Sony is, it's interesting because we talked about like Universal at one point, they were higher than Disney like 2 years ago, I think, with when they had Fast and Furious 7 or whatever,
and
Despicable Me and Jurassic and everything. Right now, Disney, this is for 2017 so far, Buena Vista Disney has 19.4 of the market share. Universal is 18.2. So, I mean, they're still neck and neck. Universal's
close.
Huge. Yeah. Warner Brothers, 16.3. So that's hardly smaller. 20th Century Fox, 13.6. Sony Columbia, 9.8. It's just
that's
interesting
big,
how that's changed.
Drop.
You know, Sony used to be huge.
What was the movie, the year Universal did so well, there was like something that did huge business that just nobody expected.
Jurassic.
They thought Jurassic would be good.
They didn't
expect that well, but
no.
I thought there was another movie.
There was a Universal movie?
That was a Universal movie. The
Backdraft.
Well, I mean, that year, I think they had Fast and
the
Furious.
So, Jurassic 2015 is what we're talking about. Jurassic World was $700 million domestic?
Yeah.
So,
it was
a
huge movie.
Furious 7 was $350 million, but then it was like $1 billion overseas. Minions, which still made a ton of money, especially overseas. Pitch Perfect 2, 50 Shades of Grey.
What
that made
number
a ton
is Pitch Perfect 2?
4.
That's hilarious.
Domestic.
That's great. That's why I get
a
third one. Yeah.
I mean, and then 50 Shades of Grey made a ton of money. Like, that was another, what, 700 or 600 million? And then after that was Straight Outta Compton, which did a
Straight Outta Compton.
Did a ton of money.
Yeah.
Then Trainwreck after that, which was a huge, you know, was a big for a low-budget comedy.
Sure.
You know, and they had stuff like Ted 2, which still made some money, you know, but The Visit. Visit was the same year. That was $98 million on a $5 million budget. So Universal's year was
$98 million. Like, you think that they would have done something just so they could say it crossed
$100 million.
Yeah. That tells me that M. Night Shyamalan's got a clause in his If it makes $100 million,
I got to make one of mine.
I know. I get a $10 million bonus.
Right.
We're at 98. Pull it.
Pull it. 99.9. Get it out.
Yeah.
Did you see the synopsis for Glass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's kind of what we expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny, we were talking about Sisters a week or two ago. That was that same year, $105 million on a $30 million budget. So it's like Universal was just making money. I mean, even on the smaller stuff, it was still making a bunch of money, even on the low budget. So that was insane year.
That's why you get a, 19% market share? 18%.
Yeah. I mean, but they're right up there. It's crazy. It's like Universal and Disney. I think of the conglomerate that is Disney. It's
Warner Brothers is like, hey.
They're a percent lower. They're right there, too.
We have superhero movies, too.
Yeah. And coming in at number 9. Oh, I'm sorry. And rounding... Oh, this is a limit. Okay. So rounding out the top 10, we have a limited release that actually made the top 10 this week. Wind River, $3.3 million.
Wind River.
Yeah. I think you're
using the whole fist there, Doc.
Yeah. But that was Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen.
Are they a couple? No, she used to be with Fred Armisen. She hates him now.
Interesting.
Elizabeth Olsen was with Fred Armisen?
Right, that's Peggy from Mad Men, right?
No,
Olsen is the Olsen twin.
She's Scarlet Witch.
She's Scarlet Witch.
Marcy, Maeve, Marlene.
You're thinking of
Elizabeth Moss.
Elizabeth Moss, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I was like, that's interesting.
Hates him now, why? Did Scientology tell her to hate him?
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard Fred Armisen is very
crazy.
Odd.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I would have never guessed.
No, but like I heard that he could be really...
Oh.
That's what I've heard. Just stories I've read.
Hmm. I believe that.
Because he was dating her. I think he was dating her and then left her. Like they were, I think they were married and then left her for, what was her name? The Chris Elliott's daughter, Abby Elliott.
Abby Elliott.
When she was on SNL, they ended
and
up being
she was
a
really
thing.
Funny.
And they ended up being a thing. Oh. And then now, I forget, he's with somebody, but Fred Armisen's got game.
I mean,
Elizabeth Moss was
a blue man, and he did blue himself.
He was a blue man?
He was a blue man.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he started with Blue Man Group.
Huh.
What?
Yes. I had no idea.
I mean, he's in the videos at Blue Man Group. He does one of the pieces for
Hold on. Fred Armisen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Kevin. Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen.
You gotta put the inflection on a different part of the thing so he understands.
There it is. But he's even part of the show. Like, there's a tape.
I guess
piece
I didn't
that
know that.
Like, that's when amazing. I saw Blue Man Group, it wasn't
when I just saw him.
There was
a
video piece that he was part of.
They've got blue guys everywhere. Yeah. I mean, they've got a Vegas show, they've got a New York show,
they've got
a Chicago show.
But when
show.
I just saw Orlando, like, he wasn't in that. Orlando that's interesting. I never seen him.
Well, are there any never nudes in that one?
No. He's not Tobias Funke.
Yeah, but he was in the blue. Well,
he's a different. Yeah.
Tried to be in the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
I think I blew myself.
So I don't know. Has anyone heard anything about Wind River? It's a limited release, but it's got a couple of good actors in it.
It looked like one of those small thrillers that will probably play well on home video.
Yeah.
The backseats of airplanes.
Yeah, like, well, I saw it. I was like, oh,
nah.
Oh, it's out.
Oh, Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch. Is that Avengers Part 4? Oh, no.
Yeah, an FBI agent teams up with a veteran game tracker to investigate a murder that occurred on a Native American reservation.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little movie I like to call Braveheart, if you haven't seen it, with Sam Shepard and Val Kilmer.
The Mel Gibson movie?
Oh,
Braveheart?
Yeah.
You remember that movie?
It has the same name as the
Mel Gibson flick?
Is the Mel Gibson movie?
Thunderheart.
No, it can't be Braveheart.
Thunderheart's a movie. Thunderheart's a Val Kilmer one.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Thunderheart.
Yeah.
This is the movie I'm thinking of with Sam Shepard and Val Kilmer.
I haven't seen 1995 Braveheart in a while, but I'm like, that is a very different movie than I remember.
I was thinking of Brave and then something hard.
Thunderheart.
Thunderheart.
Yeah, Thunderheart is
you
a good
You can take
movie.
Our
it's
reservation,
great.
But you'll yeah. never take...
Oh, no, you will take our freedom. Never mind.
It will. Oh, yeah. Here's some blankets.
I need a table for four. You said you would take our reservation?
Yeah. No, that's what we're... No?
All what? Right.
Yeah.
No?
Just me?
All non-smoking? Right. Preferably something gluten-free.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us on the internets at Real Spoilers on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can rate, review, subscribe, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not the Apple type, you can find it in all sorts of places. Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn,
Zune,
if that gets resurrected. But yeah, so there's all sorts of places to find us. So hop to it. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yep.
So you have that to look forward to.
You're welcome.
Until then, you've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.